Mahjong.com weekly podcast talking about what could it be but Mahjong.
Mahjong. Do we have Mahjong to talk about?
Do we have Mahjong when? To talk about? I don't know. I played Mahjong this week.
So I did.
A little bit of Mahjong to talk about. I don't know. You played a fair amount of Mahjong this week.
I did.
And let's see what else. Let's see. Just start off with something non-Mahjong. Like, what? Did anything non-Mahjong happen this week?
No. Everything was Mahjong this
week. Everything was Mahjong for you? I don't know. You know, like, after last week's just major debacles with, you know, too much partying or whatever.
Right.
I, having decided that I need to lose some weight, too, I was at 97.5 kilograms on Sunday of last week.
Right.
Monday, yesterday, I was at 92.8. So I lost almost 5 kilograms in 1 week just by basically not drinking.
Wow, that's great.
Just a little bit of exercise. Except, for example, one day, a lot of exercise. I ran 5 kilometers and biked the 70 kilometers it takes for me to get to your house, feed your cat, and then go back to my house.
Wow, awesome. Good job.
So yeah, I'm not quite as fat as I was a week ago. And maybe I'm a little less constipated. in case everybody wondered about what I'm talking about. The doctor last week told me, because I thought I had a hernia, the doctor told me that I had no hernia. Basically, I'm just fat and constipated. So, I have something to fix, because that is pretty lame. Pretty uncool when the doctor tells you you're fat and constipated and you just eat some more fiber. Like, like basically, yeah. No medicine. We don't need to give you any medicine. You just need to change your diet. So that's my news for the week. So yeah, Mahjong, you went to Osaka and played, what, a good 3 or 4 days of guest work?
Yeah. 4 days in Osaka and 1 day in Shizuoka.
1 day in Shizuoka, wow. Were these all three-person Mahjong guest appearances, or any?
Well, the 4 days in Osaka, in Shizuoka is four player. Oh, actually, I played 1 day in Kyoto, and that was four player as well.
Oh, really?
They had a kind of scary three player going. It was like the Tokyo version of three player, and I really only know the Osaka version well. So, and but everyone there was wearing like Louis Vuitton suits and Giorgio Armani suits in the three player game.
So it's kind of like it's a big game.
Yeah, so I was very happy to play the four player one.
Wow, interesting. Yes, it would be fun to get into some of those big games if you know, you had the means. I always wonder. I guess this is the English version of our talk, so perhaps it's okay to talk about.
No.
No. Oh, well. Okay. I guess I won't talk about. I don't know. If gambling were illegal, or if gambling were legal, perhaps I could have almost paid back Scott all the money I lost from him last week. But unfortunately, it's not legal, so I did not win that money. but I did go. I did find it's not like that. It's a new Mahjong parlor, because Sakai is actually a pretty well-known Mahjong chain throughout Japan. Do you ever play at Sakai?
I've played there as, like, a guest before.
Which one did you play at?
I think it was Sakai that I played at in Matsudo.
Matsudo?
Yeah, and maybe also in...
Matsudo is in Tokyo or Saitama?
Chiba.
Chiba, oh, okay. That Matsudo.
And
wow.
In Machida, I feel like.
Machida? Wow, yeah. Interesting places you have gone. Machida is actually right next door to where I first lived when I first came to Japan.
Yeah, it's not very far from here either.
Oh, yeah, that's true, huh? The way the roads work out here. It's funny, on the way here, I often see a sign saying, this way to Machida, which makes me think, wow, am I really that close to my old house? And I guess I am.
You are. Well, it's still, by car, it's about an hour away. And by train, it's not much faster, because there's no, like, quick route to get there.
Yeah, the Yokohama line is not a very fast line.
Yeah, and you have to switch at, like, Hachioji, so it's just not good at all.
Yeah. I did used to teach around here, like, at some English jukus, like, after-school schools.
Yeah.
So I did have to come up here a lot from Sagami Ono, from that area. I have been here quite a bit, even before you were here. Anyway, yeah, I got to play, since I've been playing at the Sakai group lately, mostly at the Musashi Koyama place, which was kind of a fun place to find, because the
it's
reason
be
I found it...
just a second, I think.
Pardon? Oh, okay.
I'm doing loud stuff.
Right. I found it by just, I happened to go to this bar with a buddy of mine.
Right.
At 2 in the afternoon. And overhear some people talking about Mahjong. So I just randomly decided to jump in their conversation, and
yeah, that's something you can do. For some reason, I can't do that.
Well, I don't do it all the time very well. It's more of something that's easy to do at a bar when you're a little bit loosened up.
I see.
And so yeah, we were talking about Mahjong, and the guy, it came out that the guy works at a Mahjong parlor around the corner. Turns out to be Sakai. And so I went over there and played a little bit. As it happens, on that very day, one of our very own Japanese Pro Mahjong League players was a guest there that day.
Oh, who was that?
Fuji Sumire.
Oh, I was a guest with her on Sunday, actually.
Holy bagoli.
Yeah, she came to Shizuoka on Sunday. Her and Yurika?
Really? Aoi Yurika.
Yeah, and
wow.
Also Katayama Masayuki.
All four of you, yeah, at the same Mahjong parlor on the same day.
Yeah.
Holy bagoli, what an event.
Yeah.
That's kind of huge, actually.
It was huge.
Were there a lot of people there?
Yeah, there were a lot. They had a tournament, so we were like guests in the tournament, and then we played a little bit after that, too.
Wow, that sounds like fun.
It was fun.
Good times. How'd you do in the tournament?
I don't know, like 27th or something out of 32? But then in the games after that, I won, so it's good.
Yeah, perfect.
Yeah.
Huh. Let's see, why don't I get invited to it? It's like that. Oh, yeah, because I have crappy manners. Which it becomes more evident at Sakai. Because it's interesting. So Moriyama is our... he's sort of the vice president of our league. And also Jen and my personal trainer. Or mentor, I guess, as the lingo would go. He was talking to me last week and saying that, you know, it would be nice to throw a little guesthouse my way. He hears that, you know, places like Sakai are interested in me. Pardon?
I don't hear you in the headphones at all.
You can't hear me?
Oh, that's better.
Oh, sorry. I had trouble hearing me before anyway. But
maybe hold it a little bit closer.
A little closer?
Yeah.
It's just that once I put it close, then I always hear my breath. Feel like, does everybody want to hear me breathing heavily? Like,
well, today I think there's nothing we can do about it.
Okay. Oh yeah, he's worried about sending me on guest jobs because you know, my reputation for crappy manners. and it's true. And he especially mentioned Sakai, and he said, you know, that they've expressed interest, but he's worried about them especially because they're very strict about their manners, and they really are. And I don't understand some of the things that they're actually strict about. They don't make any sense at all. Like,
when I went, I got in trouble for... I was at a table, and I think there was one player that didn't really like smoke, so he had the window open.
Uh-huh.
It was November.
Wow.
And
cold.
So, yeah, and we all had to wear China dresses, the cheap house.
Oh, yeah.
So we had shawl. I brought a shawl, so I put it on my shoulders, and they would not stop going on about that. Like, they said... don't put it on your shoulders, you can have it on your lap. And I said, oh, okay, and I put it on my lap.
Uh-huh.
But it was because I didn't want to make the player close the window, right?
Uh-huh.
Because he didn't like the smoke. So I was trying to care for him.
Right.
And they brought it up about four or five times after that.
Oh.
When we were eating afterwards, too.
Even after you had put it on your lap, then they keep bringing it up as if it's...
Yeah, they said, well, everything was good today except for that. And I really couldn't understand why they were going on and on about it.
Yeah, you know, and it's really weird the places that they choose to be really strict about things. Like, really, is that such a big deal?
So and you have, like, a list or something?
Well, you know, all right, so I don't understand why they are so strict about where you put the yama. Did you get reprimanded about that? Because
no.
So it's generally a custom to when the wall comes up out of the table to move it forward and at sort of an angle.
Yeah.
Right? That's pretty much customary everywhere.
Yeah.
And yet, when you do it there, they say, oh, no, please, no, sorry. Can you put it so that it's parallel to the elevator as when it comes up?
I see.
And you know, it's like, oh, okay, I guess I can do that. But then it's such a habit to put it at an angle. Even after I've corrected it, I'll see it later and I'll be like, oh, I should put it at an angle. And then I put it at an angle and then I remember, oh, no, I'm not supposed to do that here. So then I put it back and it's like, now it looks like I'm trying to cheat by touching the tiles all the time, right? It's just embarrassing. And, you know, sometimes you forget and they have to tell you again and they'll come up and they
so
are.
You went to play just to practice these rules? Or?
Well, I went to play just because, you know, it's the new parlor that I've been going to lately. So I wanted to play a little bit. No, I'm not really trying to practice. But it's, you know, it's also, I teach a lesson right around the corner from that Mahjong parlor, so it's just easy to shoot over there right after I finish my lesson.
Right.
But man, it's crazy the way the things that they're obviously really thinking about, that they really have to do to create whatever atmosphere they're trying to create in there. What was another one? Oh, you know, we were talking about this before, the way to throw tiles away. I guess you've never thought of it this way. I always thought that the reason we throw tiles away that way, the way the pros usually do,
yeah,
is to flip it around with your middle finger on the tile. I thought the point of putting your middle finger over the face of the tile was to hide the actual tile until you took your finger off.
Yeah, we talked about this. I had never thought that at all.
Right.
That never crossed my mind even.
And the thing is, I've basically sort of been told that when I was working at Red's.
Mm-hmm.
One time, I almost always throw it away like that. And that time, I think that may have been before I started throwing away my reach tile the way I always do, which you always mention that as soon as I do that, you know that I'm tenpai. Even if I change my mind,
you don't even have to discard it. You just have to pick up the tile
the way I do, and then you know that I'm tenpai and reaching. And it's true. Like anybody who knows that, there have been times when I flip it down the way I do, and then. At that point, I decide, well, no, wait, maybe I don't want to reach. But you would obviously know at that very instant, oh, well, Garth is tenpai, but he must have just decided not to reach for some reason.
Exactly.
But I think one time, before I was throwing it away that way, which is also I'm trying to hide the value of the tile until I let go of it so that everybody can see it at the same time, a player to my right wanted to chi that tile, and because of the way I hit it with my hand, player across from me was able to pwn it before the player just to my right could see it and chi. And afterwards, the boss made a point of coming over to me and telling me, dude, you need to change the way you throw away the tiles there. It was totally unfair to the guy who wanted to chi because it was hidden from him until after the other guy had said pwn. But when you do throw away tiles like that, for some reason, you know, for me, sometimes it ends up coming down a little bit hard on the table. And, so, you know, the Sakai guys were complaining about how heavily I was discarding.
Oh my God.
Discarding the tiles. I was like, really? Come on, that was that hard? Another thing.
Okay, we're going to stop for one second,
okay,
and we'll come back to this conversation
in
just a minute.
Okay, so let's see. There was the I wasn't moving the things right and the walls right, and I wasn't moving the I was throwing away too loudly.
Right.
Other things, just the way they sort of run the Mahjong parlor. So every time somebody reaches, they've got to say, you know, this person, you know, Garth has just reached. Good luck to him.
Okay.
And so first of all,
when you order drinks.
Yeah, it's got to be repeated. But the reach thing, and going into the last hand of the game every time, that they always have to say that every single time. It gets a little bit tiresome after a while.
Yeah.
And one of the things that they really do there, and it really becomes apparent after a while because it's so obviously, they're obviously all thinking about doing this. When they say, you know, Garth Nelson has just reached one, two, three, and then everybody at the same, Gambatte kudasai, at the same time, which, you know, which means good luck.
Yeah.
Everybody do your best. And it's just such a weird thing to be like, this is where we're going to really spend all of our energy.
Yeah.
Trying to get everybody to say good luck at exactly the same moment.
I talked to a guy working there, one of the ones that I was working at, and he said that that was actually the exact reason why he wanted to work there. Was like, because as a company, he thought it really had its stuff together, especially as a Mahjong parlor company.
I suppose there is a reason. There are customers that will like that. I wonder how many customers.
Well, this was actually
somebody
an employee.
Or
maybe he was attential. He was the manager or something. But I imagine besides that, they also have points where they probably have some benefits.
Uh-huh.
Like, I'm sure they have a contract with, like, dormitories that employees can probably live in and for a really cheap price. And also, they probably have advancement opportunities, you know, going up to manager and stuff like that. It's probably run more like a Starbucks than most parlors are.
Indeed. I think they do have their act together probably far better than the average Mahjong parlor, and because it's such a huge chain, you know, they, like you say, there's probably a lot of opportunities for advancement.
Yeah, I think they can, like, probably move to different places around the country.
Right. And you've got to figure they probably also have run enough successful parlors that they know how to run a successful parlor, and they can be sure that the one, you know, whenever, wherever they open one up, it's going to actually work.
Right.
It's interesting. So just on a lark, I went to the Shibuya branch.
Right.
Yesterday? I think it was yesterday. And, you know, I thought it was just going to be like the other one. When I walked in, they made a point of, after telling me all the rules. Oh, and one other thing, this is a no-rate parlor. Of course, you know, obviously in Japan, they're all going to be no-rate. But this one was especially no-rate because gambling is illegal in Japan. I was thinking it was a little bit interesting that so far, of all the sakais I've seen, that's the only one I've seen that is no rate. And I wonder if that has something to do with the recent spate of raids by the cops to certain places that were doing the whole gambling thing. You don't have any idea?
No, I don't know. Do they still have the same rules? Like the red five of dots is a yaku?
Yes, that's
a yaku,
that's
a
another thing
point.
That I find interesting about that Mahjong parlor. One of the strange rules, just for the listeners, one of the strange rules at that Mahjong parlor is that the red five counts as a hand point.
Yeah. And there's two of them, right? Is there just one?
I think there's only one.
Okay.
I don't actually... I
can't remember.
Sure. I'm pretty sure there's only one. Even if you don't have any other hand point in your hand... even if you've, for example, say, cheat or pawn things so that you really can't even put a hand point in your hand except
right.
for, say, perhaps...
You don't have all symbols, you don't have, like, a tile...
Right. Your only hope would be to win on the last tile or draw a con or something, you know, draw on your con, something like that. But actually, if you get the red five, or if you have the red five in your hand, or even if it's discarded and it's your winning tile, that can be your one hand point. So it's a sort of strange twist on things there. Where was I going with that? Oh, yes, right. So they have those basically, I think it's all the same rules, except that at that place it's especially no. the whole idea about things gambling being illegal in Japan is something we've harped on before, but I do find it really amazing that... With all the gambling that does go on in Japan, legally.
You know what I find more amazing?
What?
Is that people in... I've talked to people from New York, and they actually think that it's illegal in the whole country, in America, to gamble unless you're on an Indian reservation.
So what do they think is going on in Atlantic City and Nevada?
Well, so I guess, like, Vegas and Atlantic City are special, but... But normally, in most, you know, you're not allowed to gamble unless it's on an Indian reservation, which I never knew it was illegal to gamble in any states until, like, really recently. And only New York and Hawaii have really no gambling legally.
Really? Yeah.
They have no lotteries or anything.
Because there's no federal law against gambling in America, I think.
Right. And actually, Washington State, the gambling age is 18. It's not even 21.
That is pretty crazy.
Yeah. So it's... Yeah, that was amazing to me, because they were like, yeah, how did all those casinos, like, in L.A. work? Are they all in reservations? And I was like, I don't think any of them are in reservations, as far as I know.
A few of them. Well, there's a reservation casino near Santa Barbara that a lot of my friends go to.
Yeah, but actually the ones in L.A.
In L.A. Oh, okay, you're just speaking about L.A.
And Commerce and those specifically, ones. Right. Yeah, those ones I think are just in L.A. County, right?
Uh-huh. I wonder what it would take to put a Mahjong, to actually go through the correct legal channels and create a Mahjong parlor in Los Angeles. Because the Mahjong parlors that I played at in Los Angeles were definitely underground.
Right.
There's no way that they had any sort of legitimate gambling license from the state. I'm sure they weren't reporting their taxes normally or anything. You know, it was the building was just, it was like a building with no sign on it. All the windows were kind of taped, papered up so that you couldn't see inside. And, you know, it's totally nondescript. Little standalone building that you had to know there was something going on in there to even knock on the door, and then
right.
when they let me in, well, actually when they opened the door first, they're like, "Sorry, this is the Mahjong parlor. You must be in the wrong place." So I say back to them in Japanese, "I just called. You said I could come," and they're like, "Whoa! We thought you were Japanese." But,
we thought you weren't Japanese.
They thought I. They but when I called, they thought
oh,
I was Japanese.
Wow.
But you
do
know,
you get that a lot on the phone?
I get that a little bit on the phone. Most of the time when I get that here, I think it's probably they're just being polite. But I can imagine in the States, they might imagine that somebody, an actual Japanese person, their Japanese may have gotten a little bit fuzzy or so after having lived in the States for a little while.
But I get it quite a bit here when I'm on the phone.
I get it a little bit. For you, I can imagine it's a little bit more sincere. Here, I think it's a little bit like, you know, just try. It's the typical just trying to give a compliment where even though it's not really that justified.
I see.
Which, for listeners outside of Japan, is one of those weird Japanese customs that a lot of us foreigners have a hard time getting used to. The random compliment that really just, you're like, what? Like, you say, excuse me, and they're like, oh my god, your Japanese is fantastic. I just said, excuse me. Yes. So anyway, yeah, it would be interesting to see how difficult it is to create a legitimate place of gambling in California. But along with that, I'm also shocked that, you know, given the amount of gambling that goes on in Japan, actually, that somehow becomes legal just through one weird finagle or another, that when they did raid some Mahjong parlors for gambling, they went so far as to actually fine the maker of one of the makers of a certain.
Well,
kind
I'm
of
sure
table.
It wasn't really hard to find the maker.
Right, but I mean, the thing is, as if it's his fault that Mahjong parlors.
Well, the
are
reason
using
that they did that is because he actually made the settings so that it calculated cash rates.
I realize that. So obviously, yes, he's creating a table that is sort of designed, you know, it's designed to give points at the end, or to give a figure at the end, which is obviously probably going to be used for gambling.
That's true.
But he could, you know, with all of the finagling that goes on to imagine that what gambling goes on is actually legal, how could he not just say, okay, I didn't
know.
Well,
I'm sure that's what they ended up doing. So he did get detained, but I don't.
Oh, he didn't actually get a fine, or
I'm not sure exactly what happened. I know that he actually got detained, but I mean, he's out now.
Right.
I see him posting on Facebook all the time. So
I don't know. Another one of those issues we've talked about till we and our listeners are, I'm sure, are blue in the face. But man, the mental gymnastics that go on here to justify why this one thing is okay, but this other thing, which is pretty much exactly the same, is not okay. Those gymnastics are really just quite astounding.
Yeah.
I don't quite understand how people can say with a straight face the things that they do. Whoa! Wow. Random Brazilian chick from a couple weeks ago calling me from Roppongi.
Hey, this is the wrong podcast for that. That's our other podcast.
Yes. Wow, I didn't think I'd be hearing from her again.
God.
Okay, sorry. What was I going to say? Mahjong. By the way, at the Shibuya parlor that I played at, you know, very very few players. I think there was, when I walked in, there was only one customer playing, and they had, I think, two guest pros playing that day. They only play, that you can only play free. Free means going in as a customer by yourself until 5 o'clock. And then they shut off the, there are no more free games for the rest of the night. And I wonder how much, you know, the fact that they have to be no rate there, despite... You know,
did you like it better than the other one, than the one in Shinjuku?
I've been going to the one in Musashikoyama.
Okay,
near where
well, did you like it better than the one in Musashikoyama?
No, I like Musashikoyama better. But that you know, it's also because I happened to win a lot the last couple times I went there. But it's all. I also feel like the level of play was quite a bit higher at the other place in Shibuya. You know, it's when you're playing that, when you're playing for those stakes, it's not surprising the level of play seems to go down. And, you know, when you're playing for something that actually matters to people, wow, surprise, surprise, play changes. People play a little bit more, well, they play like it matters. They don't just go for the win every single time or you know, just do crazy maneuvers that have no meaning to try to make you do random things. Which, I don't know, sometimes that can be a good way to play if it makes me get off my game.
Yeah.
But, boy, you only have to see that a couple times before you realize, well, no reason I ever have to watch this person. So let's say that's my new parlor for the moment, is Sakai and Musashikoyama. And, you know, I randomly get to play with a couple of our pros, Sumide's there sometimes. I forget the other one who was there.
I actually really wanted to go to KO today because, Taki was there.
Really?
And yeah, I think they said the 29th he was going
to
be there.
Came all the way out to Hachioji.
Yeah.
You know, another interesting thing about the list of people that they had up as they were going to be playing in Shibuya, in the Shibuya Sakai. Of the 7 people that were showing up this week, 4 or 5, I think, were Renmei players. I knew none of them. Like, the girl who was there that day, she was like, oh, are you a pro player? I was like, I think I recognize you. I was like, yeah, I'm in Renmei. She's like, oh, I'm in Kyokai. I've played your game. And I was like, oh, thank you very much. And then I looked up the thing. She's like, see, I'm right there on the wall. And I was like, oh, you guys only have Kyokai players? And she's like, no, look. And four of the names had, like, Renmei at the bottom. Like, oh, wow, I guess that does say Renmei. But I have no idea who any of those they're all girls. She said she seemed to indicate that they're probably people who just started this year.
I see.
But man, all these people.
Yeah, I
don't
found
know.
Out some stuff about like people working, and I'd like to discuss it with you off the air.
Oh. Bad news about people working.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm really. I'm really glad that we joined JPML. And not one of the other leagues, because some of the ethics and things of the other...
Ethics? Wow, it's an ethical question.
In my opinion, this is ethics.
Uh-huh.
It's... Yeah, they're just really not thinking about the future at all. And they're really acting selfishly.
Uh-huh.
And it's really, really bad for the industry.
Yeah.
I really have started to dislike Kyokai a lot more than I did before.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I don't know. I suppose it's also probably a little bit of a product of the state of the economy in Japan. It's probably similar to what is going on in the, you know, TV industry that we used to enjoy working
for.
Yeah,
but it's this not the state of the economy so much as it's like, why did you become a pro, kind of? I don't know. I guess all we can do is keep the name of JPML really more prestigious than the other leagues, and
try to keep up our standards.
Yeah, kind of show that our standards are higher and that we're better, because it's really the other. I don't think it's Saikoi as much.
Uh-huh.
I think it's really a lot more Kyokai, and one of the reasons is because it's so easy to get in.
Uh huh.
Which is not something maybe we can, like, complain about, but I can say certainly that I work my butt off, so... Ow! Go, cat! Oh, my God.
There's quite a little bunch of noise there.
Yeah, it just dug his front legs into my thigh right now.
Ouch.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that that league really hurts the industry a lot. I think we'd be better off without it. I'll go out and say it.
Huh, interesting.
Yeah.
And I, now that you mentioned that, so most of the people that I worked with in at Ikebukuro Reds, they were mostly Saikoi-sen players,
right.
Not Kyokai players. And, you know, for the most part, they did seem to be a lot more serious about trying to play Mahjong seriously, trying to create a place that was fun to play, and without, you know, selling themselves too cheaply.
Yeah, I think, yeah, that's really a big problem. Really big problem.
But, it's I mean, the whole thing is just a problem because of the way, you know, Mahjong is discriminated against in the whole world of gambling in this
yeah,
country.
Yeah, that's true, too.
It'd be a lot easier if, you know, people could just play for real. And I understand there are problems. You know, the biggest problem that any government has with gambling and allowing people to try to make their living gambling is that how does the government then, how can they be sure that they're able to properly tax people on their income? Because it's very easy for us to say, well, I'm a professional gambler, but I only made $20 last year, so, all right, my tax is $2. Here you go. Thanks, government. You know, so, unless you have a really good way for the government to track how much people are winning, then I can see how they feel like, you know, because obviously people have to pay income tax. Other people have to pay income tax on the money they make in their jobs. If we're really making money as professional gamblers, then theoretically we should have to pay income tax.
See, I don't think the pros mostly don't make their money as professional gamblers. They mostly make their money from guest appearances.
Playing Mahjong in this country, right?
Right.
And so, for gambling, you know, in regards to gambling for any government, I would imagine their biggest problem is how to tax people on it.
Yeah.
Which is why, in the end, the kind of gambling that they tend to allow more than any other is gambling.
I don't know. I feel like a private masseuse, you often don't pay taxes and stuff. And actually, when I was working in the restaurant industry in Seattle, because in Washington State, they have to give, even waiters have to get minimum wage. They can't lower.
Just because they're getting tips.
Yeah, just because they're getting tips, they can't lower below minimum wage. So all the waiters were getting minimum wage plus their tips.
Wow.
And most of the waiters only claimed their credit card tips. They did not claim the cash tips at all. So, I mean, you know, it's any industry.
Right.
And when
everybody cheats on their taxes.
So
yes.
When you go to the poker industry, like, if you win a big tournament, then that they take out taxes right there, right then and there. They withhold stuff. So, I mean, they have ways to do it that is effective enough. Probably somebody making $20,000 playing cash games is not a very big dent in there. And there's not a lot of people doing it.
Yeah.
So I think the measures they have are enough. I don't think it's a big deal.
I'm not saying that poker players are getting away scot-free and the government needs to go after them more. Certainly there are much bigger fish the government could go after if they were really concerned about
taxes.
Yeah,
but I mean, like, that also comes with this. So you're not paying that, so you're not paying. I mean, you're not on the record anyway. You're not really paying Social Security and stuff like that. So, and you don't have, you know, health insurance. You have to find that yourself and things like that.
Right.
So
yeah, the thing is, I don't.
There's other payoffs.
Right. There are payoffs, but from a government point of view, because I don't actually believe that they are making gambling illegal because they have any real, you know, moral.
No, I think the only reason why it's still illegal in Japan is just because it takes so long to change laws here.
Yes. Well, and
because a lot of people are pushing for it, especially lately, so it will be, like, I know that you'll be like, well, they've been saying that for 10, 20 years, but there's a lot of big companies pushing hard for it lately, so it's going to happen very soon.
Interesting.
Yeah.
It's just that, the kind of gambling that is legal in Japan is the kind that it's very easy for the government to take their money from it. It's very easy for them to see how much money is coming in from people who are gambling on whatever that is, be it Mahjong or
horse races. They had a case lately with horse races where, because they tax the winnings, but they don't count your losses. So there was a guy, I think, who won something like insane, like 20 million.
$20 million.
Yeah, but
Wow.
he lost like 19 million. So he was up 1 million, but he was
They
taxed on the
still
entire
tax him on.
20 million,
Wow.
which was way more than he made, you know?
Obviously,
Yeah.
yes.
So I guess
So.
that's one way to discourage it.
Yeah, really. But the at least for the people running the business, which are they're generally going to be the big winners because they're the house, they get to set up the game so that they can win. It's very easy for the government to see how much money they are making in general and get their taxes from it. Boat racing, horse racing, dog racing, and pachinko being, I suppose, the major players.
I don't know, then I would argue that they're getting enough taxes from that. They don't have to take it from the winners. I'm not very big on like taxing gambling winnings
Me
at all.
neither, but I can't imagine what else the government really objects to because
I see, I don't think they're objecting to anything. I think really it's just the changing the laws. I really think that's it. They're not objecting. They're trying to change them right now. The government is trying to change it too. They're working on making it all legal right
It is
now.
amazing that it takes so long because, like you say, they have been talking about it forever.
Well, they've been talking about it forever. The big, like, industries, the big industry leaders have been pushing really hard for it the past probably 2 or 3 years.
Really, even pachinko.
I'm not sure.
Because I
It's
would
like
think.
big things like Sega or something. I don't know which companies, but I mean they're like huge ones like that would want to do casinos or cruises and stuff like that.
Interesting, because I would imagine pachinko, which is really big right now, it certainly probably has a lot of sway in the government. I
Well,
would
maybe that.
imagine.
Well, then that's also the big point too. So it's really not the government being against anything. It's just the politics of it. That's it. It's not them against it. It's just, okay, who's gonna lobby the strongest then?
Right.
So, but I think the big industry members that are pushing the past 2 or 3 years weren't very active the years before that. And now they're really active. So we'll see what happens. And we're already way over time.
Okay, sorry.
And
Okay.
I'm really bored of this now. I feel like you're saying the same thing.
I am sorry.
But no, you probably haven't said the same thing in this podcast, but I heard you in the last podcast and in between the two podcasts.
Whining about the same stuff, huh?
Yeah, the same
Okay.
stuff.
So do you have any events coming up?
Nope.
No.
Nope.
All done for like the next month or so, huh?
I don't know. I might get some stuff in February. I don't know yet.
Well, it sure would be nice to find. We should get some sets together. Because I just do not get to play Mahjong live anymore, and I keep trying to get my friends to play, even though. And they keep. I keep getting friends who say, "Hey, let's play a live game," and then I say, "Let's play," and then they're like, "Oh, I'm." So, I think the only thing to do is try to play with other people in our league. Because it does seem like we have a fair number of players in our league who do like to play sets sometimes.
Yeah, I don't know. I've only been invited to play a set like
What you
once
doing, what
since
you
we became
don't.
pros, maybe twice
What you will
in
and
8 years.
we should get that stuff together.
What
I
you
ended up
can and
not
what
getting
you
to
can't.
participate in Due Osen
This is what you got to
because
know.
I had narration. I have narration on
Loved
Saturday,
you though
so
it didn't
if I made
show.
it to the home
Did you
set, I wouldn't have been able to finish.
I see. Well, we'll talk more about that next week. Because we are at 40 minutes and we need more content next week. Because I'm not playing Mahjong for the next week.
Alright.
I don't know about you.
We have to actually play Mahjong.
Yeah, I'm gonna go play Fight Club tomorrow.
Oh, yes, Fight Club. Alright, well, try to come up with some more. Yeah, some strategy talk. There's gotta be some good hands coming up for me, at least, the next couple of days. So, we'll have some actual more Mahjong to talk about next week. Thanks for listening. By the way, I got a nice comment from a guy called McMaster on Twitter. Thanks. We always love to hear from you guys. If you want to get in touch with us, I am Garth, Garthee on Twitter.
Mahjong Jen,
Etch.
MahjongJen, Mahjong Jen. And you can give me at reachmahjong.com. That's Jen, JENN, at reachmahjong.com.
I've Garth, just one E, Garthee. I don't say my H like Europeans and Jen.
No, I'm saying it Japanese.
All right, well, thank you for listening, and I will try to say something different next week.
Snake, please.